You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Beets, kohlrabi, celery root, turnips, rutabaga, cabbages, they're the vegetables you're most likely to find at the farmers markets and in CSA boxes this time of year. The problem is most of us don't have a clue as to how to prepare many of them. So we have invited two experts to fill us in on a variety of ways to deal with the winter vegetables that are in season right now. Award-winning writer Roseanne Gold, whose most recent cookbook is Radically Simple, Brilliant Flavors with Breathtaking Ease, and Alice Walton, farm coordinator for Kotchke Farm in Kinderhook, New York, which is owned by the New York-based catering company Great Performances. And I'm pleased to welcome the two of you to our show. And we invite calls at 646-829-3985, or you can leave a comment on our show page at WNYC.org. Alice, there's still a lot of snow on my block. What's growing this time of year? Can you grow much in a snowy winter like this?
Not much. At Kotchke Farm, we have three greenhouses, which is where we grow a lot of what we can bring to market that's somewhat fresh. We have a greenhouse fully dedicated to spinach. We have a greenhouse with a bed of various lettuce leaves. And then we have a greenhouse that's growing microgreens, very young, small, almost sprouts.
Well, greenhouses have to be heated, don't they? So are they totally environmentally friendly? Forgive me for asking that mean question so early.
We actually are able to use some of the cooking oils from Great Performances that mm-hmm. we bring up to Kotchke Farm. When the truck comes down and drops off vegetables, it'll bring vegetable oil up to help heat the greenhouses. So we do what we can. And Kotchke Farm is completely certified organic, so all of the vegetables are treated as minimally as possible and with all the right certified natural fertilizers, et cetera.
Well, but much more limited than, Roseanne, than the things we see in supermarkets and produce stores at this time of year. There's still strawberries and tomatoes and blueberries. Mm-hmm. Avocados. They're not.
You wonder where it's all coming from, yeah, don't you?
They're not in the farmers markets.
The wonderful thing, of course, that Kotchke Farm is, in addition to the greenhouse products, they have wonderful root vegetables and the things we're really talking about today. Beets and rutabagas and turnips, cabbages. Of course, that's not a root vegetable, but it's what we are cooking with right now. And there are so many exciting things. I call root vegetables the new meat. They're fleshy. They're moist. You can cut them into steaks, thick slices. You can grill them and roast them and steam them. I'm very excited, and I'm starting to cook with things I've never cooked with before. In the spirit of full disclosure, I've actually never made a kohlrabi until this week.
Well, I'm not sure people would know a kohlrabi if they saw one.
I can describe it to you. They look like softballs, and they're a little gnarly, not too much. The skin is actually smooth. They're either green or they're purple. And if you boil the purple ones, they do lose their color. But I invented two dishes this week that were just so dreamy. I'd love to share them.
Do they taste like something else?
They taste a little bit like turnips, but they have a different quality. They're sweeter and they're a little meatier. So when you boil them and chill them until they're really, really cold, you can cut them into cubes. And almost like an hors d'oeuvre, and I top them with a little bit of creme fraiche and a bit of caviar, and it's gorgeous.
Well, the vegetables of the winter tend to be heartier than the ones in the summer, and often sweeter. That's the big surprise. If you put them in a soup, is a soup a good way to take care of many of these? If you put them in a soup, they usually turn out to be quite sweet.
Oh, they can be very sweet. They're nutritional powerhouses. You know, I don't know the actual breakdown of them, but they have so many complex sugars and carbohydrates. And again, they have that meaty, fleshy quality, which is why I think we love them so much. But they make great soups. I make a rutabaga sweet potato soup with toasted pecans and a parsnip apple soup with bacon candy. I mean, there's a lot of fun you can have.
There are a lot of great ways you can pair the root vegetables with apples. Another local piece of produce that can be stored throughout the winter.
Well, apples are stored because they were picked in the fall.
Exactly.
What about some of these others? Are they easily stored?
They are. What we have at the farm right now and coming to our farmer's market at Port Authority on 42nd Street, we have celery root, we have turnips, we have rutabaga. Earlier in the winter, we had others, and, you know, our supplies dwindle as we get into February and March, the sort of later winter times. But most of these were picked in the late fall during the harvest season. They need to be picked. Most of the root vegetables need to be picked before the hard freeze sets in. A light frost sometimes can enhance the flavors, but too much frost on the ground and there's no hope for them.
So all of these, all the things we're seeing were picked a little while ago.
Exactly.
Roseanne, most spring and summer vegetables can just be chopped up in a salad or lightly sautéed. But winter vegetables seem to require a lot of cooking.
Actually, they don't require too much. And there's so many new interesting techniques chefs are using for them. For example, radishes. Very few people think about cooking radishes. And the newest way to make radishes is to actually roast them. And those beautiful French breakfast radishes can be cut in half, just glazed with a little bit of olive oil and roasted for about 20 minutes at 425. It's a great hors d'oeuvre. It's wonderful paired with little slices of Manchego cheese. I also stir-fry them with sugar snap peas and bits of bacon. I make a pasta dish with sautéed radishes chopped up and radish leaves and also a little bit of pancetta. It's so much fun to play with these root vegetables. They're inexpensive. They're always around. They're actually quite colorful. And it's been a lot of fun.
We invite listeners to call in if they have any questions or suggestions. Our number is 646-829-3985, or you can leave a comment on our show page at WNYC.org. Alice brought some celery root. Now, celery root is not the prettiest of all vegetables.
Looks like a brain, doesn't it?
Or it looks like something, if you were making a movie about it, came from outer space.
Yeah.
But first of all, is this the same as celeriac?
Yes, they're interchangeable names.
But celery root is easier to say.
Exactly.
And how? And what do you do with this? It tastes like celery, doesn't it, even though it doesn't look anything like celery?
It does. It tastes – I describe it as a mix of a potato and celery, which I don't know if that fully does the flavor justice, but it sort of gets the point across. At our market, because of our connection with Great Performances, the catering company, we're able to have prepared foods and sell those alongside the fresh or stored foods like the celeriac or celery root. So we sell a celery root soup, which lots of our customers love to take home and heat up. We also have a...
Because that's like a potato and celery soup.
Yeah, exactly. It's naturally a very creamy vegetable, so you don't need to add milk or lots of cream. You can if you want that result, but a lot of our market customers love it because it's very, very simple. We also have a celery root apple slaw, which is one of my favorite things to do with celery root, keeping it raw. You grate it along with apple, add a little bit of mayo, some lemon juice. You can also add toasted walnuts or dried cherries or cranberries. Mm. But it's a really great, fresh way to enjoy a root vegetable.
Do you have any other ways of preparing it, Roseanne?
That really sounds delicious, Alice. I love that idea. I do. I like to mash it with fennel that's also been boiled with the celery root, and that's a really lovely combination. And you just chop the fennel fronds on top. Of course, the real classic recipe, which isn't cooked, is celery remoulade, which is just a very simple French, really salad or side dish that's made with mayonnaise and some Dijon mustard. But I have a really crazy new idea. I boil the celery root until it's very, very soft and puree it with a little bit of olive oil.
Wait, do you chop it up first?
In about one-inch cubes. You peel it in one-inch cubes. And then I add a little truffle oil, and I use it as a sandwich spread on white bread. It's so good, especially if it's a brioche. It's divine. And fresh thyme leaves and a little salt.
Can you
Great
eat
lunch.
The skin of celery root, or
no.
Does it have to be peeled?
No. I tend to recommend cutting it in half because it's so rough. It's actually can be hard to use a general vegetable peeler on it. So cut it in half and go around the edges with a knife, taking off a bit of that outer layer because it is quite a knobbly, hairy in places vegetable.
It's also lovely in a gratin because Alice mentioned that it was so similar to a potato in taste, maybe a little sweeter. It's very easily sliced and layered, maybe even with some spinach or fresh kale, a little bit of cream, a splash of wine. It's very versatile.
One of my favorite names for a recipe is rutabaga. But I'm not sure I would recognize a rutabaga if I saw it.
Rutabaga. Oh,
you brought one?
Ah. I brought one. We have one here in the studio.
Ah, that kind of looks like a turnip with a tail.
Yes, rutabaga and turnips are the two that I initially had trouble distinguishing, although I've become quite the expert. Rutabagas are very similar to turnips. The variety that we grow also have the purple top. They're a little bit more yellow in tone and a little bit longer.
Do they taste like turnips?
They are very similar to turnips. I'd say they're a little bit sweeter. I actually enjoy rutabaga more than I enjoy turnips.
Mm. Well, I think about rutabaga actually is a combination of turnips and almost sweet potatoes because they're starchier and firm, and they're yellow in color. In fact, they're also known as Swedes or big yellow turnips. But there are lots of varieties. You know, I went to the farmer's market this morning, and even with the celery root, the ones that I saw were smaller, and they were covered in kind of almost like a black ash. So I think what's so exciting today is carrots come in, you know, 10 different colors, and there's so many varieties of so many of these new root vegetables.
We have a caller who has a question about celery root. Hi, Jamie.
Hi, how are you?
Okay.
I had a question. I grew celery, and I grew the celeriac. Is that the right way to say it?
Close enough.
Yeah.
Celeriac.
Celeriac. And so what I found was that, of course, the celery root was a wonderful discovery and really tasty because I'd never actually had it fresh before. And so that was fun. But the celeriac was really strong, and I actually froze some of it. And I was wondering if you had any recommendations for what, like soups or something that I could use it in, and what I could put it up against that could kind of maybe fight with it or take down some of its flavor.
Does freezing these vegetables change them?
You know, I don't have any experience with freezing them, Alice, but you sort of nature kind of naturally freezes them, don't they? And you actually mentioned that maybe they even get a little bit sweeter.
Yeah, in the ground anyway, a light frost can be good, although a deep freeze isn't good before the harvest. You know, I haven't frozen any of these myself either.
I have an idea about, even if they don't freeze well, what you can do to kind of save it. You would want to cook it with a little bit of potato. And definitely in some milk, or you can add, or chicken stock, and then you can add a little bit of dairy milk or creme fraiche at the very end. Leeks are delicious in combination with celery root, and I mentioned fennel before, fresh fennel. So if you just boil that all together and puree it, I think it would be delicious.
A listener says, for those people who don't like onions, celery root can be a perfect alternative as a base for all sorts of things like soups and such.
Well, I don't see the connection with onions so much, but I definitely can envision the kind of the bouquet or the aroma. It's strong. So in that sense, it might give that impression.
We have to take a little break. We'll come back with more from my guest, Roseanne Gold, whose most recent cookbook is Radically Simple, Brilliant Flavors with Breathtaking Ease, and Alice Walton, who's farm coordinator for Kotchke Farm in Kinderhook, New York, a farm that's owned by the New York City-based catering company Great Performances. Again, we invite your calls at 646-829-3985. Or you can leave a comment on our show page at WNYC.org. And the chances are good that a vegetable will respond to you. Rutabaga, 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 rutabaga. I'm going to be round my vegetables, I'm gonna chow down my vegetables. I love you most of all, my favorite vegetable. If you brought a big brown bag of them home, I'd jump up and down.
vegetables cart off and sell my vegetables. I love you most of all, my favorite vegetable.
The vegetable
wonderful.
Just glorified in song by the Beach Boys. Earlier we heard the Mothers of Invention singing about rutabagas. My guests are two people who know a lot about vegetables, Alice Walton, the farm coordinator of Kotchke Farm in Kinderhook, New York, and Roseanne Gold, author of how many cookbooks? I can't even
12.
The latest one called Radically Simple, Brilliant Flavors and Breathtaking Ease. And we're inviting your calls at 646-829-3985, or you can leave a comment on our show page at WNYC.org. And I'd like to read a few of those comments. Jessica writes, I make a lot of roasted root vegetables, but I also make several versions of my grandmother's cabbage borscht. Also, I find that adding things like celery root and parsnips to a cauliflower mash I make in lieu of potatoes makes it even more delicious.
Adds a lot of depth.
Absolutely.
Wonderful.
Rochelle asks, what can you do with the bottom of fennel or anise? Should we do anything other than throw it in the compost heap?
You mean what they cut off from that root?
I don't know if I've ever seen it.
From the little knob at the bottom? I don't know what grows underneath. What does that look like?
I think that's most of the root itself.
Not sure.
Well, the problem is she didn't call, so we can't do a follow-up on that. Carolyn asked, my brother is raving about the roasted chicory root he had in Switzerland, but I can't find any recipes.
Roasted chicory root. How interesting. I just saw a parsley root at the farmer's market this morning and asked about that. That's very similar to parsnips, but sweeter. So I don't know. Maybe the chicory root is similar. Sounds great.
We got our vegetarian comment. Jen in Manhattan says it's very disturbing that the cooking suggestions for these vegetables involve using meat.
They certainly don't have to. I think this is the wonderful thing about root vegetables. It doesn't need the addition of any meat at all. They have so much flavor in and of themselves. In fact, as an example, I'd love to tell you about another kohlrabi recipe I discovered. If you just boil it again and let it get very, very cold, and you cut it into one-inch cubes, and you just fry it in olive oil until it gets really crispy and brown, it's gorgeous. All you need is a little bit of salt, or yesterday I experimented with something called West Indian curry powder, and you just sprinkle this on the crispy hot nuggets of kohlrabi. That's vegetarian, and that's delicious.
Let's take some calls. We go now to Ellen from Manhattan. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Leonard. I make a rutabaga puree, which is wonderful, but I make it twice a year at Christmas, Thanksgiving, because they're coated with wax, and it takes about an hour to peel two of them. And I'm wondering if it's possible to get any that aren't coated.
Well, if you come to the Port Authority Green Market tomorrow in the North Terminal of Port Authority, we will be selling rutabagas not coated with wax.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
Somebody wants to know about that green market. Alexa from Manhattan, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you. Well, two things. One, I was wondering where the actual market is in the Port Authority and what days and times. And the other is that I grate a lot of them and put them in salads like beets, raw turnips, raw rutabaga. You can just grate it and add it raw into a salad, and it's very good.
Wonderful idea. Very colorful.
Absolutely. I love eating these raw when you can. And to answer your first question, the market takes place in the North Terminal of Port Authority, the slightly less occupied terminal, which is along 42nd and 8th, right at that corner. We're there from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. every Thursday, year-round.
8 a.m. to 6 p.m. every Thursday?
Exactly.
And indoors, so...
And we're indoors, so you don't have to brave the elements.
So it's the closest one to 42nd Street, then, you mean?
Exactly. If you enter off of 42nd Street or off of 8th right there, we're...
8 to 6 Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you for calling.
And, just last week, a friend, a regular market customer, told me that she eats turnips as she would an apple, just eating them raw. These can all be done raw.
David from Brooklyn. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Leonard. Thanks for taking the call. I've been cooking vegetarian for my daughter for quite a while now, and it's kind of a challenge to keep coming up with new things. but I have one that I just did last night, which was baking, roasting a butternut squash, cut it in half, kind of score it, a little olive oil and salt on top, and cover it and roast it in the oven for about an hour. And I next to that, I did a sweet potato, and then I served it on a bed of watercress and lettuce, and sprinkled some a little oil and balsamic vinegar, and crumbled some feta cheese on top of the roasted vegetables, and they just kind of like blended in with it, and it was wonderful.
Yum! That sounds delicious. Mm-hmm. I feel and like a little pear. Something with pear might have been nice there too. That's so
that
wonderful.
Sounds like that sounds like a good idea. Yeah.
Now, is cauliflower grown locally?
Pardon me?
I'm asking Alice. Is cauliflower grown locally?
Absolutely. Although in February it's hard to find cauliflower or broccoli. They do survive survive longer into the winter than many vegetables, but we haven't been getting them since late November, early December.
So are they planted at different times to come up at different times? When would winter vegetables be planted?
Winter vegetables are planted at different times. It all depends on how long they take to reach maturity. Although with most of our vegetables, we do one planting early in the spring to harvest during the late spring before the summer gets too hot. Then we have our summer vegetables that mature over July, August, and September. And then things like butternut squash have been maturing all along, and we harvest those this year because the summer was so hot. We had to harvest what we call our winter squash, so butternut squash, in August and September.
My guests are Alice Walton of Kotchke Farm in Kinderhook and Roseanne Gold, whose most recent cookbook is Radically Simple, Brilliant Flavors with Breathtaking Ease. This is WNYC, WNYC.org. I'm Leonard Lopate. A listener from Brooklyn has a suggestion for Rochelle, who asked about the bottom of the fennel. He says, why not use it for stock in a vegetable soup, especially a minestrone?
Perfect.
I love making stocks out of these. I've been cooking up soups all winter long.
Well, all the stuff that you cut off, and
right.
That would include probably the outside of the celery root,
exactly.
Can go into a stock, right?
Lots of vitamins. Yeah. I actually call it compost stock at home. We kind of named it that.
Yeah, the edges of the Brussels sprouts, the tops of the turnips, everything can go into that.
And, of course, any mushroom stems that mm-hmm. you've pulled off. Moti, is it?
Yes.
Moti from Long Island. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I just want to know the ratio, how many apples to the celery root, and which apples will be great with that?
My favorite apples tend to be the slightly tartar apples. I love the local wine saps. But almost any apple will go
will
do fine.
How much mayo you use? And the lemon.
No, I don't have the recipe right in front of me. I can tell you it's about a 2-to-1 ratio of celery root to apple.
Okay, great.
And then as much mayo as you like.
Yeah.
You should probably keep it on the low side because
it's
got a lot of cholesterol and an awful lot of fat in it.
But we'll be posting the recipe on the Kotchke Farm website if you'd like to take a look at
it. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
So we have websites where people can find recipes for these things? How do they get yours?
At www.kotchkefarm.com. You can find recipes for some of the food that Great Performances puts together. We also, the Sylvia Center, the nonprofit education program that's both hosts education, garden to table education programs for children at Kotchke Farm, and does educational programs in the city, has a website, and they provide a lot of recipes for us, especially because they're used to introducing these vegetables to kids who've never heard of them or seen them before.
Well, we will be putting a few recipes from today's show on our show page this afternoon. We also will be putting links to both of your websites. A listener asks, what do you do to make stock?
How
do you make a basic vegetable stock?
It's really easy. What you could do is, let me give you some rough proportions. Let's say if you chopped up six cups of these vegetables that we're talking about, all the root vegetables. That would be great. You might want to add 1 to 2 cups of, maybe 1 cup of chopped onion or leeks. You want a little bit of that presence. And then cover it with, you know, a lot of water and some sea salt and boil it. You might want to smash a clove of garlic in it. You might want to add a couple of fresh bay leaves, some whole allspice, and just boil it away. And then you strain it, and then you reduce it down to the consistency you like.
And what about the leaves from celery, for example?
Well, you know, they're very strong. They're very, very strong. But what I like to do is add them at the end of a dish. I'll just saute them into something, but at the very, very end. But like lovage, it can be a very strong taste when it's cooked.
And you said you boil it. How long do you boil it?
Well, a vegetable stock, you know, if you're working with a meat stock, you would boil that for a couple of hours, really simmer it. This maybe after 45 minutes, you'll have a really nice, very full-bodied, very flavorful broth. And just a little bit of parsnip. You know, I'm thinking last year, beets were really the darling. It was the trendiest vegetable.
And they also have nice leaves.
And they have beautiful leaves. You should use both. I mean, nature gave us the bulb and the leaves, and they're both edible and delicious. But this year, parsnips are the trendy vegetable. And for that lovely man who's making vegetarian meals for his daughter, you might want to try parsnip fries. You cut peel the parsnips, cut them into French fry shapes. And you just coat them with a little olive oil, again, a bit of sea salt, and you roast them for about 25 minutes, and they taste like French fries, and they're fabulous but sweeter.
James from Brooklyn, hi, you're on the air.
Yes, good afternoon. I'm calling with two things. One regarding a customer's listener's concern about how to clean these vegetables, rutabagas, carrots, celery, root, beets, etc. What I do is I get those green, very, very thin pot scrubbers. And when you use that and only use it for your root vegetables, and it does an amazing job of just getting off the wax or getting off the dirt. And then I rinse it out, put it in the microwave to sterilize it, and I keep it separate, so I only use it for my vegetables. Second thing is a recipe that I have, which is acorn squash, split it in two, and just brush maple syrup with Coleman's mustard, just very lightly around the edge. And if you want to, you can put a half a teaspoon or half a tablespoon of butter in the bottom of the acorn squash. Cut off on the rounded edges of the two halves. Cut off very carefully a very thin slice so they don't tip over in the process.
We have a lot of very sophisticated cooks in our audience.
Yeah, that sounds great. I love the mustard and maple combination.
A listener suggests that the chicory eaten in Switzerland could be puntarelli. I don't know. Another listener would like to know about a certain vegetable that she has seen, although I'm finding it very hard to get my computer to cooperate right now. Oh, here we are. Hi, Laurel. You're on the air.
Oh, hello. Thanks, Leonard. And hello, ladies.
Hi.
I bought this strange pumpkin in Connecticut at a market, and they said it was some kind of French, it was a new vegetable. I'd never seen one before, and I've been cooking for years and years and years. And it's like a pumpkin, shaped sort of like a pumpkin, has a beautiful color, sort of a bay or a peachy color, but it has these like nodules on it, like brown, coarse nodules on it. And it's a squash, but I've had it sitting out in the hallway since, I bought it in Connecticut, and I kept it there, and then I brought it back to the city, and it's been in the hall. And I want to cook it, but I don't know how to approach it, and I don't know anyone. I saw some of them in a food grocery store in the city here, and I went in and I said, "What? How do you fix these?" They didn't know anything about them.
Well, don't you bake all squashes?
Well, you can certainly maybe cut it in half as you would a pumpkin and scoop the seeds out. I imagine there are seeds inside. Do it cut side down on a cutting board, put a little water in the bottom of it, and bake it until it seems to be tender. The other thing is maybe you can peel it and cut it into 1-inch cubes and boil it and then mash it with some butter.
A listener asks, should we call chard a winter vegetable?
Chard and kale can grow in much colder weather than a lot of others of the greens. Lettuce, for example, has to be kept fairly warm. But it's not, at most places in New York State anyway, it's probably not being harvested right now unless it's grown in the greenhouse.
Yeah, what's the difference between chard and Swiss chard? Is there any difference?
I could probably know the answer to that, but I'm fairly sure it's just a nomenclature.
I'm pretty sure they're the same thing. Yeah. And I think
about mangold, is that another name the listener suggests?
I'm not sure. That sounds familiar, but I don't really know. I think about it a little bit more as a spring, kind of a transitional winter, spring kind of vegetable.
Well, kale in particular is
hardy.
It's very hardy, and it's a perennial, so it's the same plant that grows leaves off of it over the course of its life. So as soon as the snow melts in the spring, you can go out there and harvest the kale again. And I've heard that kale is the most tender of all because the snow, in fact, treats it quite nicely. It's just that when there are 2 feet of snow out there, not many farmers are going to venture out to get their kale.
Something wonderful happens when you cut kale into small pieces and you put it in a hot oven. It gets like airy popcorn. It's very healthy. It's really delicious with a little salt.
Kale chips are one of the most popular things among the kids who work with the Sylvia Center. It's a great way to get kids to eat their greens to make it as much like a potato chip as possible.
You know, I've been a cook for an awfully long time and know very little about farming. I feel like I want to come and, like, live at Catchkey Farms. I'd learn a lot.
Just one more thing. Lily from Phoenix wrote in, are leeks generally combined with other veggies and meats and soups, or is there a good way to serve it as a standalone?
Well, the French use leeks a lot as a standalone vegetable.
They just wilt it, don't they?
They wilt it. They braise it. Actually, leeks braised in chicken stock with just a touch of butter is one of the most dreamy side dishes you'll ever have, or cooked in a little bit of cream.
We've run out of time. Unfortunately, we have a lot more questions about vegetables. But, well, winter is going to be soon over, and we'll have to start talking about spring vegetables, won't we?
Wonderful.
And my great thanks to both of you for coming by to talk about the winter vegetables, Roseanne Gold. Her most recent book is Radically Simple, Brilliant Flavors and Breathtaking with Breathtaking Ease. Alice Walton is farm coordinator for Catchkey Farm in Kinderhook, New York. It's been a lot of fun.
Thank you.
Thank you.